All right, we're going to talk today. John gave me a tape by Dwayne Sheriff. He heard it at a conference. You know, I've been preaching about living by the life of another, the faith of another, the love of another, the hope of another. He said, I got a new one for you. It's called Reaping by the Sowing of Another. I said, yeah. So I'm going to preach it. Are you ready? Galatians chapter 6. Woo, verse 6. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we ask you to open our ears and let us receive your word, Lord. The engrafted word that's able to set us free in Jesus' name. Amen. Let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. Just don't give up. And as ye therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, we're starting out with this one. There is a thing in the flesh called, if you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. No problem with that. Amen? Unless God cuts the harvest off. How many of you know he's able to cut your harvest off? That is reality. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. How many of you have met that little thing? All right. But 2 Corinthians 9 that Steve said a while ago, so we see there is a sowing to the flesh and there is a reaping. But you know what? I'm not going to meditate on that a lot because that's not who we are. It's who we were. Oh, but who we are is a lot better. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. All right. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man as he purposes his heart, let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, look at this, to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound into every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, and his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, but it doesn't only stop there, it increases the fruits of your righteousness. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And enriched in everything unto all bountifulness. Thank you, Lord. See, there's a sowing to the flesh that reaps corruption. There is a spiritual sowing where you sow and you're going to reap. But you know, let's go on with that as we see that. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is, it scatters, yet increases. There is, withholds more than his meat, but it tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered himself also. How you like that? Woo! Is that good stuff? Hmm. Oh, I didn't read it. Okay. Proverbs says, there is that scattereth, yet increases. There is withholdeth more than his meat, and it tends to poverty. Then it says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered himself also. You water, and you're going to get watered. Woo! And it says, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. For that which he gives, the Lord will pay again. How many of you would like the Lord to pay you back again? I believe he's not stingy. Amen? Is that good? Now see, there is a sowing and a reaping. The good news of the gospel of grace is you can believe for crop failure. If you sow to the flesh. What's the verse? Here's your verse. You ready? Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace, that we may obtain mercy. Now what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's crop failure. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's crop failure. Now you're going to get fine mercy. You're going to obtain the mercy, crop failure. But then something else is going to happen while you're at that grace room. You're going to find grace to help in time of need. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. How many of you just want mercy? No. I want mercy, and then I want grace to get what I don't deserve. See, that's what we are living our life, and we're reaping by the sowing of another. How many of you know who he is? Amen. All right, let's look at that. So we see that. Because the law of sowing and and weeping, the devil's always there to condemn you. I don't know if you know about that old nature, but there's something in the seed of man. Every one of us, we talked about it in the coffee shop this morning. I remember when I first got saved and filled with the Spirit, I was so far on fire for God, I went to every time they had a meeting anywhere. I went everywhere. And you know what? When God moved on somebody mightily, I said, I wonder what they did to get that. Is anybody else out here? Has anybody else heard those voices? I wonder how many hours they prayed. I wonder what they did to get that power. I wonder. That's in the seed of the old man. It's got to earn it some way. There's got to be something you got to do to have that power to do that. See, that's in every old nature. It's there. But see, that's not according to the gospel. And you got to get past that. I believe, you know why God has withheld, I believe, healing like it ought to be going on in the body of Christ today? Because there's still something in the seed of man that's saying, if I've got to do something, and then when they see somebody healed, I wonder what they did to get that. And yes, not only that, but those, it's a lot of them that's seeing people healed are writing books telling you how to do that. But once you come into the exchange life, you realize there ain't nothing you can do about any of it. You're doing it by the life of another. And it takes all the pressure off, isn't it? But it's there. John chapter 9, 1 through 3, it says, and Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked, here, where does this come from? Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's there too, isn't it? Wonder what he did to do that. I remember so many times hearing teachings, well, the reason you're sick, you just don't have any faith. It's all your fault. Are you out there? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. Neither one, he said. In Luke 13:1, the Jews of the first century believed, it says, that all suffering was a result of God's judgment on sin. So do many Christians believe that. It says, there was present at that season some that told him the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifices. Jesus answered and said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered things? I tell you, no. But except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. What was he saying? Do you think there are sinners above? No. But except ye repent. What does repent mean? It means exchange. Change the way you think. Change the way you're going. Exchange the way you're thinking. See, and that old thinking will put you in that other realm over there. You believe it's something you do or something you don't do. And how many of you know when things go wrong in your family, there's always a little voice said it's because of you. It's your fault. See, that's not from God. That's that spirit that speaks that's not from God. Oh, yeah. Change the way you think. How do you change? Only one way. The natural mind's not subject to God, never will be, so we have a new mind. It's Christ. And it's been freely given to us. So, we see that. See, in John 4, verse 35, say ye not, there yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white to harvest. And he that reapeth receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life. No, it's into eternal life. There's your little word, ice. It's into. You're gathering fruit into eternal life, that both he that soweth and those that reap may rejoice together. Now he says, I sent you to reap wherein you bestowed no labors. Other men labored, and you've entered into their what? Their harvest. See, there is a reaping by the sowing of another that we're all partakers of because we're part of the body of Christ. See, this year we've had David Timms that's gone to Africa twice, and we've all helped support him to get there. How can they go, Romans 10 says, except they be what?
Sent.
So when you help send them, you're a partaker in what they're doing.
Amen.
They can't go except they be sent. See? And when they go, when Tony has gone to the Philippines, and there's been hundreds of thousands of souls saved since he's got over there. I'm not exaggerating. And you help him go. And you support him. And you're a partaker in that, that both he that sows and he that reap can rejoice together. That's why I always say when these people come, sow your seeds into what they're doing because you become partakers of what they're doing. You got it? See, and so that's what Jesus is saying. I sent you to labor where you didn't labor. You just went in and got the harvest. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're already white to harvest. See, so there is a reaping by the sowing of another. That's a reality in the body of Christ. But the greatest reality we have is what Jesus has done for us. We are living this free life because he freely gave his life for us. So he could exchange us. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the what? Very righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? Yeah. See, that's living by the what? Sowing of another. And boy, that is the most liberating thing. John 12:24, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings much fruit." Isaiah 53:10 says, Isaiah is the gospel of 53. When it says, when God shall make his soul, Jesus' soul, an offering for sin, God will see the travail of his soul, and it says God will see his seed. God saw Christ's seed as it was going to the cross, as it went to the garden, as it went to the whipping post, as it went to the cross. He saw his seed, but when he saw his seed, he saw us. We're seeds of what he did. When that kernel of wheat fell in the ground and died, it brought forth much fruit and is still bringing forth fruit today in all of us. We're that seed. We're the seed. But see, that's not just it. The heart of the Father has always been a heart of grace. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "You remember when you go into the land that I promised unto your father Abraham." And according to Galatians, Abraham's our father, isn't he? The father of faith. So you see what he said is, when you go into the land, he said, and you live in cities you did not build, and you live in houses you didn't build, and you got houses full of stuff you didn't put in there, and you got crops you didn't harvest, and you got wells you didn't dig, what's that called? That's called grace. It says Noah found grace in the wilderness. Grace is not unique to the New Testament. Amen. Speaking to this mountain, saying, "Grace, grace, grace unto it." And he says, when all this stuff is given to you, don't forget I gave it to you. And don't say in another chapter, the power of my might has gotten me this well. Because remember, it's I am the one that gives these things to you to establish your grace, to establish his covenant. We're living under a covenant that freely gives. It's been freely given to us. So see, you know, from the days of John the Baptist, it says, till now the kingdom suffers violent, and the violent take it force. I don't, by force. I've heard messages all my life, the double portion, taking it by force. The violent take it by force. I didn't have much luck taking it by force. Did anybody else around here? You have any luck taking it by force? But you didn't stop there. Until John the Baptist, till now. Now, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. Right? It's been freely given to you of your Father. You don't have to strive and struggle anymore. Amen. It's been freely given to you. Why? And they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. What is it? Abundance of grace. Receive it. Receive it. Take it. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Progressive sanctification is just not found in the Scripture. I'm sorry. It's just not found. There is a growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is taking those exceeding great and precious promises and receiving them into yourself and see things happen and you grow up as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow up. But the seed is still the seed. The seed doesn't change just because you're trying to grow up. You got a new seed. So you're just growing up into who you are. And the Holy Spirit has come to take the things that already yours and show you what you already have. And you know what? There's plenty more that we haven't seen. It's exciting. Because in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. And we are complete in him. How does that read out to you? In Christ, have you ever thought what the fullness of the Godhead means? That's gigantic. Dwells in Christ, and you are in union with him.
Amen.
That's who you are. You think we've got all the revelation of it yet? I don't think so. I don't think so. But isn't it wonderful to know it's yours? It's yours. The access to it has been freely given to it. The only thing hindering it is the revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul said from the first day, I heard that you got saved. I've been praying day and night that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened that you may know. You may know what is the hope of his calling, what is exceeding great precious things and the power he has for you. Golly, yes. And you know, that's why I get so excited about what John's doing. And they've been in grace and they've been in legalism. And they're coming back around into the grace, and there's so many people going to be coming to them that's got back into legalism. And see, that's why Galatians is there. Stand fast in the liberty and be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. And I tell him, you know those folks? I love them because I know one thing. If they was in grace and they got back into that, it's because they was hungry for the truth of the gospel. They got back in because they was hungry. Amen? And the power is the only thing that's going to set them free. Not legalism, not law. The power of God, it is the grace of God that leads you to what? Full salvation. Amen. All right, I didn't finish it. And he shall prolong his days, Isaiah 53:10, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen. Take my yoke, he said, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, Jesus said. Rest for your what? Souls. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, the very God of peace sanctify you, holy spirit, soul, and body. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't stop there. Faithful is he who called you, who has also done it. He has already done it for us. That's what's so exciting. It's not something left to you to do. He's already done it. The grace harvest is coming. And you know why? Because there's such a battle right now over grace. There's so many good people preaching against this hyper-grace message that y'all are hearing. Sorry, some of y'all are hyper people. But I'm telling you what, we've not yet begun to see the measures of grace. We've not yet, we're just beginning to taste of that freedom that's been freely given to us. And the further it goes, the further it's going to leave that old thinking behind. Because there's no place for the old thinking and the new thinking. And because it's all new, because we're new creatures. Amen. So we see the grace harvest is coming. And once again, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Amen. Reaping by the sowing of another. Thank God Jesus did that. You know, in Proverbs 13:22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I just want to tell you, there's another thing coming according to scriptures, that the wealth of the sinner is going to be given to the righteous. You read Ecclesiastes, it's there. You read the scriptures, it's there. How many of you is ready to receive some of that? Amen. Amen. It's in Ecclesiastes 2:26. It says, he gives the sinner the travail of to gathering up, to heap up, that he may give it to him that is good before God. And what makes you good? Living by the goodness of another. That's the only way you can be good. But you can. Is that heresy? Or does that sound like the gospel? That's the gospel of grace. And what made it possible for us is right there. Because of what he did.